Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the month of movies for June
2018.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this year, I'm trying to watch part two of the scariest movies of all time that I haven't seen before.
And I have a 3D TV and bought a whole crap load of 3D movies, and I'm trying to get through those.
And then any other movie we saw during the month. Let's just jump right in, shall we?
Yeah.
First movie we watched this year was a movie called
Upgrade.
Upgrade. Now, I had seen trailers for this before it came out.
Yep.
Which, if you're interested and don't know what the movie is, don't watch the trailers.
Because the coolest stuff is in the trailer, and then you're expecting stuff.
Yeah. All the cool stuff, all the action fighting stuff is in the trailer, and then when it happens, you're like, I can't wait for more of this. And
but the movie is good.
Yeah.
It's not like they give the entire movie away in the trailers, but you're waiting for certain fight scenes to happen because you saw them.
Yeah.
But they didn't spoil the movie, but I don't know.
Well,
it's better to go into not seeing anything.
The basis of the movie is that it's the future. I didn't realize how sci-fi this movie was going to be.
Right.
But there's a lot of, like, electronic stuff going on. What happens is a main character, he gets into a
car accident
with him and his wife. And events happen that cause him cause him to be paralyzed and his wife to be dead.
Yeah.
Then he gets contacted by a guy that he fixes up cars.
Yeah, one of his clients that he fixed cars up before he got paralyzed.
Yeah, he's like, hey, man, I've been working on this technology. I'm the new Bill Gates or whatever. He's like, I invented this this chip that you can implant in your base of your neck, and you should be able to, you can walk and use your body because he's a quadriplegic. And he's like, but it's a testing phase, so you can't let anyone know that you're working on it and stuff. So he's trying to track down and figure out who killed his wife, because he actually has the ability to walk around and stuff.
And he's got, and then, I'm gonna say it, the chip, like, has its own mind.
Yeah, it's sort of like an AI type thing.
Yeah, it's like an AI thing. So he's like, I can take over your body here. And then, like, he just starts doing kung fu and shit.
Yeah.
He's like, what is going on?
Yeah, no, the plot is pretty interesting. It's not too in depth, but it has a good way of, like, making it interesting. But the guy playing the main actor,
the main character, he was awesome.
He's fantastic. Like, just watching the subtle details of him, like, oh, he's not controlling his body, the ship is, but his facial expressions are like, he's surprised at what he's doing, and it's so, like, comedically, but, like, also awesome at the same time, because he's surprising himself with what he's doing, and
it's a good movie. To me, it, even watching the trailer and stuff, I was like, this looks like a new kind of RoboCop. Mm-hmm. It's a guy who, gets upgraded and then tries to, seek revenge.
Yeah.
Except he's not a cop. But it also had aspects of, a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, it could
with the technology and stuff.
Yeah, it could almost be like a less somber Black Mirror.
So it's like RoboCop meets Black Mirror what I like calling it.
Yeah. But it was good. I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah, it was really good. I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it a plain old 7.
7.5.
Solid 7. The next movie I saw with you as well.
Hereditary.
We saw this trailer months ago, and we were waiting for it to come out, because the trailer creeped the shit out of me.
Yeah, the first time we saw the trailer for this, we're like, what is this? What is happening? I need to see this movie.
Yeah. And then we watched it, and afterwards we're like, what was this? What happened?
Right. It was weird, because, like, we saw the trailer, and then we watched the movie, and we're like, this movie took a different direction than I thought it was with the trailer.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm glad they did, because then they didn't spoil anything in the trailer.
But they did show a lot of stuff in the ending in the trailer, and a lot of stuff that, like, Of course, the most action-y or, like, visual appealing things
But the couple twists and turns weren't in the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It still had the same kind of tone.
Yeah. The premise of this plot, though, is that a woman who's taking care of her family, her mother dies. And she's, like, just kind of trying to deal with losing her mother. Mm-hmm. And slowly kind of realizing some of the things, like a few of the secrets that her mother had, or like her mother had in her life.
She had like diseases like, and stuff.
Well, she like also had like, she had like a group of friends that like, they would like have not therapy sessions, but like sort of like an AA type, you know, bond type thing. Like they'd have like, but it was like for, you know, I don't know how much to say without giving it away. It's creepy. But if you're going into it expecting it to be a, oh, let's see how scary and creepy this is, it's a very atmospheric movie.
Right.
The
normal person would think it's slow and boring, but yeah. It's all about the character development and, like, leading up to stuff.
Yeah.
Subtleties are a big part of it.
Yeah.
There's
a, like, the critics loved it. The audiences hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, if you love symbolism and love picking apart little details and noticing little things here and there, and it's a bit of a slow burn of a movie, but not as slow as...
But then the end happens so fucking fast.
Yeah. Well, it's a slow burn. It's taking a while to catch a fire. When it does, it blazes. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Like, I'm still wanting to go back and, like, rewatch the last 10 minutes just to know what the fuck I missed.
Yeah.
But also, I think
that just came out on Blu-ray and DVD this week.
It can't have. It just came out in theaters last month.
There's a lot of new
They don't come out that fast.
I'm trying to remember what else came out.
But I was talking with Mookie at work, and I was like, I pointed to this. I'm like, do you think this caused this, and this caused this? And like, I'll talk to you about it afterwards, but even then, I'm like, after watching reviews and stuff, I'm like, I wonder if... It's fun to pick apart, but boy, oh boy, bad... Bad feelings.
September comes out in September, sorry.
Okay.
Look, something came out this week that was...
But, like I have bad feelings. Like, you feel kind of awful after that movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But I gave it a 7.5.
I minimized it.
You minimized the movie.
I gave it a 7.
All right. Only as good as Upgrade, huh? Okay. Oh, wait. We swapped them.
Yeah, I thought Upgrade... I liked Upgrade better than Hereditary, but they're both really good.
Point five.
by half a point. But they're both really good movies.
5% better. Yeah.
Well, one is like, you know, Upgrade's more action and sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Black Mirror, and
that's what I thought of. I did enjoy him, like, going around getting clues. That was fun. Hmm. That movie had... I shouldn't say it had more laughs, but it had more moments where you're like... This is fun. This is a fun movie. Hereditary, there's no moment where you go, this is fun.
If you say that, you're fucked in the head.
Yeah, you might be a little, ugh. Yeah. But that little girl, I was like, feel so sorry for her because of, like, but she doesn't look in person, she doesn't look as hollow-eyed, I guess. As she does in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but still, I feel bad. But yeah, 7.5.
Oh, that's what it was. Acrimony or whatever?
Acrimony?
Tyler Perry's Acrimony, whatever.
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce words.
Yeah. That came out. Terminal came out.
Terminal? The Tom Hanks movie?
Nope.
Uh-oh.
Margot Robbie... Weird.
Oh, the one that didn't come out here?
Yeah, there's a bunch of movies that came out this week that never played around here.
But I heard that it didn't do well.
Yeah, it did not. Did not.
Well, the next movie I had on my list was off my horror movie list. A movie called Fright Night, which I had never seen.
Yeah, I still have to watch that, dang it.
But I have seen Lost Boys, and to me, it felt like those could have come out at the same time, like... It's, again, another, like, it's sort of a horror movie, comedy movie. But, boy, were there a lot of inconsistencies in this movie. So, basically, what happens is this guy who and his girlfriend like are just hanging out in his room, and he loves watching the late-night horror movie shows. Because it's one of those where, like, They have a host. He's like, oh, tonight we have a scary movie.
So like Elvira or Ned the Dead.
Yeah, 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 type thing. But he's like, oh, we have a scary movie tonight. It's this movie and some of that. So he always loved watching those movies. And then he sees people moving in next door, in the house next door, and he swears he sees a coffin. And he goes, oh, I wonder if he's a vampire. And then he sees, like, people, like, them bringing women in and then not coming out of the house. And he goes, it's got to be a vampire. I know my neighbor's a vampire, but no one believes him because no one believes vampires are real. So he contacts the dude on the TV. Oh, because that's what the show is called, Fright Night, that he watches on TV. So he contacts the dude, and he's like, no, I'm just an actor. I don't believe you. And his friend's like, no, you're kind of crazy. But, and then it just kind of goes from there, and you can, it's, yeah, and you realize, of course, it is a vampire, because you see what he sees. But one of the problems, that things that bother me, though, is he contacts the dude, and he's like, all right, he's not going to help me. So he goes to his friend, he's like, how do you stop vampires? If you're such a big fucking fan of Fright Night and know all about these horror movies,
right,
how do you not know how to stop vampires? You dummy.
Dummy head.
But it was, I don't know, it was... Everyone says how great and classic it is. I was expecting a bit more, I guess, than what it was. It does kind of make me want to see the new one.
The remake.
The remake, even though I heard it wasn't that great. But I'm betting because the neighbor is obviously a good looking guy. I can't remember the dude's name, but I'm guessing that's who David Tennant plays as a vampire. I'm guessing, because everyone else is like teenagers in that movie. I don't know. It was all right. I wish that I had grown up watching it it's only a horror thriller according to IMDb. But I don't know. I gave it a 6. It was entertaining, but I don't know. I was hoping it was going to be better than it was.
I didn't watch a horror movie next. As I watched The Incredibles 2, the sequel to Pixar's Incredibles.
Oh!
Why do you say it like that? Like, you forgot what Incredibles were?
That was the joke.
So, I haven't seen the first one in a long time, and I guess there was 14 years in between the first one and this one.
Sounds about right.
I remember watching the first one and liking it. Like I said, it's been a long time, so I don't remember much about it, except that Jason Lee plays the villain in that movie, in the first one. But anyway, the second movie, time-wise, I don't think it takes that much difference between the first movie and the second movie. Like,
yeah, I heard it, like, it takes, like, it like jumps right after in.
So the second movie, they're at the start of it, they're trying to stop this villain from robbing a bank, and they do all this stuff to try to stop it, but in the end the villain gets away and there's tons of damage to the city and the bank and stuff like that, and they're going, you guys, if you didn't do anything, we could just get the insurance for the lost money. But now we got all this damage we got to take care of and all this stuff. So, like, they outlawed superheroes. Superheroes aren't allowed to exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? We need to do, you know, we got to have a job or something since we don't have a job anymore. So the mom goes to look for a new job, and the dad's going to stay home and take care of the kids. But there's this rich family who's like, we want superheroes to be back. We want superheroes. So we're going to, like, whenever there's a superhero rescue and stuff, you just see the aftermath. Like, you see what happened after the fact. You don't get to see the actual action of the fights or any of that stuff. So he's like, we're going to have you as a superhero, but we're going to put cameras in your suit. So then when you're attacking, everyone can see it as it's happening. And they're like, they can see how much work you're doing to stop these villains and stuff like that. And there's a runaway train that she tries to stop, and basically becomes like this huge icon. And they're like, okay. So they start bringing other superheroes in to make like a super team. And then they want to try to pass a law to allow superheroes and stuff. But then this villain comes, the screenslaver,
Slaver?
Yeah, it's like screensaver, but it's slaver. Screenslaver.
Oh.
Because he can hypnotize people with screens. Oh. So if you're looking at a screen and he takes control, now he controls you, and then, like, it's a pretty awesome villain.
It's a pretty clever name for a... Can you imagine, like, being a villain going, I need to get a good name that he rolls off the tongue?
Yeah. I was like, that is a freaking amazing name. And some of the... the villain or the other superheroes that they come up with in the show have really awesome names too, because there's like the Void, and I can't remember any of the other ones, but they're really clever. I was like, Jesus Christ, even Elastigirl, her logo, when you look at it, it's just amazing.
I didn't realize also I didn't realize that these movies take place in like the 60s.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's kind of I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it's probably like the 60s era version of the future.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, so like, yeah, there's still have tube TVs and like,
yeah,
there's some steampunk type stuff, but yeah, it's like a old look of the future kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, there's no cell phones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's all tube TVs and all that stuff. But yeah, I thought it was a really fun movie. I liked it a lot. Like, looking back at the first movie, it's like, holy shit, the technology has come so far since that first movie, because the second one looks amazing.
Well, I've been looking at Toy Story 3 and Toy Story 1.
Yeah, I'm not scared to look at Toy Story 1 again. But yeah, I gave it a 7.5. I thought it blew me away.
Okay.
Like, it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
The next movie I watched on my list, I knew nothing about going into it, but it was a Dario Argento movie, and he's one that does Suspiria. And I'm like, oh, but this is another one of his like well-known movies as Deep Red. And I was like, all right, let's jump in and watch this movie.
Like
let's
a maroon?
See. Deep Red, I guess. I'm not really sure where the name comes from, actually. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm dumb. But the camera shots in this movie, first of all, are fantastic. Like, just, he knows how to do shots. But it's not a horror movie. It's more of a detective thriller movie, I guess. IMDb marks it as a horror mystery thriller. So what happens is there's this psychic in town, and she's saying like, oh, she's like, they're like doing this like, you know, theater thing, like they're talking, and the audience is watching, and she's like, oh, I'm a psychic. Oh, I can tell someone in the audience has this, and someone in the audience, like, you're missing someone from you. Like, your grandmother just died, and this blah, 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 type of that stuff. But then she goes, oh, there's someone in this theater that's deeply disturbed. And she, like, starts having, like, these just weird attacks, like, just screaming and stuff like that. And then that night, she gets murdered. And, the main character, who's a pianist, plays the piano. He witnesses her getting murdered. So he like just like looks up and sees whoever it is smash her head through the window and just slice her neck on the glass. So like he runs up there to see, you know, like if he can help. But by that point, the woman's dead. So then it's him and this newspaper reporter who's like, I need to help break the story. So the two of them like sort of team up, even though she's like, she's totally into him, and he's kind of like, nah, just get away. I don't want to deal with you. But she's like totally like basically just like practically like humping his leg. Those two like they kind of get together and try to figure out who murdered this lady. I guess that's as much as I'll say without actually. The main plot summary. After witnessing the murder of a famous psychic, a musician teams up with a feisty reporter to find the killer while evading attempts on their lives by the unseen assailant bent on keeping a dark secret buried. But I liked this movie a lot. I can see why this is one of his most popular ones. I gave it an 8.
Nice.
It was just a shade over 2 hours long, but it kind of flew by for me. But it was I don't know. I like it when it's... Because it was like a detective type story where they're trying to figure this stuff out, but like he's pretty hesitant, like other than the fact that he wants to kind of figure it out because he feels like he should be able to figure it out. It's like, I saw this painting, where'd the painting go? What happened? Like, in all this stuff, but he's not like hell bent on figuring it out, but she is. And it was, a nice little buddy thing going on.
Well, the next movie I watched, you also watched.
Yes.
And it was also one of my 3D movies, and that was Piranha 3D.
Oh, boy.
So I saw this movie in the theater when it came out, and then I was disappointed because we thought it was going to be in 3D, and it wasn't.
Oh, that's right.
The theater. Yeah. So then when it came out on the Blu-ray 3D, I'm like, I'm going to buy it so I can see it in 3D, because if you don't watch this movie in 3D, you can tell exactly where the 3D is because the CG is really bad.
That's right, because that was like right before Scott Pilgrim came out. Because I remember when we went to see Scott Pilgrim, they had one of the Step Up movies.
Yeah.
That was in 2D, but it wasn't in 3D.
Well, like, they had Step Up 3D. They had that one in the 3D theater instead of Piranha.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
But Step Up, they're like, really? These movies come out and Step Up is the one you choose over Piranha? But anyway, so we watched it in 3D. The movie is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's basically MTV Beach House meets a Piranha movie, I guess.
Yeah, it's low class Jaws.
Yeah, so there's like a bunch of spring breakers all like getting drunk and naked and all that stuff. When there's like a break in the bottom floor of this lake that opens up an underground lake.
Underground cavern type thing, yeah.
And in the underground lake is these prehistoric piranhas that swim up to the normal lake and just start killing people. And there's a lot of crazy deaths. And I remember when I watched this movie the first time, I was like, the craziest deaths aren't even from the piranhas. Like, the people freaking out and then shit happens is when, like, the craziest deaths happen. Where, like, someone's head gets smashed in between two boats and someone's scalp gets ripped off from a motor and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane. Like, you can't take this movie seriously. But I don't know. It's one of those that's so dumb but enjoyable. For me, it's that line is pretty thin because the Sharknado movies, I think, are like so bad they're bad. Where this, I think, is so bad it's good. maybe because it's like, I don't know, like the actors they chose in these, because it's like Adam Scott and Christopher Lloyd,
Jerry O'Connell,
who are like just amazing at giving bad performances, because their performances weren't anything spectacular in this movie, but when they go over the top, especially Adam Scott, just like, really? He just jumps on a jet ski and just starts grabbing people? This is the least believable thing ever. I don't know, I thought it was an entertaining movie. What do you think, Scott?
I'm just looking at the, I was looking at IMDb and I recognized a few more. They used quite a few porn stars in this movie.
Yeah.
And I just realized another one. I don't know. It was wacky. I don't know. It was fun to watch, but at the same time, it got to the point where I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this to be done. But like, even like you, me, and Carrie were watching it, and we just kept like, wait, this happened? This, like, we were ripping apart like little details, saying that wouldn't have happened, but honestly, yeah, would this whole movie have happened?
Nothing would have happened.
Like, goddamn, like, I mean, I'm all for being humor and like tongue in cheek, but they had to have a dick joke in there. They had to have numerous yeah, dick jokes. But the piranha ate a person's dick, swallowed it whole, and then burped, and it came out with bites out of it. I'm like, one, I don't think fish burp. Because that's an air thing. That has to do with air. Like, I don't know.
You swallowed too much air.
Yeah. I gave it... Oh, but what did I give it?
You gotta love the Richard Dreyfuss scene at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss is in it for all of 2 minutes, but he's singing the song from Jaws. I'm tired and I wanna go to bed. What'd you give it?
I gave it 7.5.
You gave it a 6.
So I thought it was entertainingly bad.
Hey, it's your movie, man.
What?
I mean, not your movie,
I'm trying to remember. Gary Busey was in this?
Apparently. What do you mean? What
the credits say. I don't remember Gary Busey.
Are you sure?
It's right here. He's down there with That's got to be... David Hasselhoff wasn't in the first one.
No, this is... I'm on IMDb, and it's not showing any Gary Busey.
So they screwed this up. Because, yeah, David Hasselhoff's in the second one.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's listed on the first one, then.
Well, the movie I saw before, Piranha 3D, you had seen before. You just watched it... Oh, no, you probably watched it last year. Halloween 5.
Halloween 5, yeah. I watched, well, two years ago. I watched it in 2016 in October.
There you go. So Halloween 5, listened to the October.
Oh, I thought that was last year, but I guess not.
Yeah, because I last year I watched different... Because I have a dream where you wish you could do... Because I took a break in the middle of the horror DVDs and then horror again. So yeah, we watched three. But so yeah, listen, October 2016. But the gist of it is it's a girl continuing right from four, fucking bad acting from the kids, bad, shitty fucking sound effects when the two dumb cops are doing stuff. They're like fucking slide whistles and dumb bullshit. There were a few decent parts, but god damn it, like, I don't get... The idea behind the movie was like they pulled a fucking Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, where Michael Myers dies in the fourth one, and then in the very beginning, nope, he didn't die. He fell into an underground cave system in the sewer or whatever the fuck it was, and then he just lived in the sewer for a year.
That's how Frankenstein.
Like
the windmill collapses, but he's underground.
Yeah, because there's a well below it. And then like this one's like, oh, he fell in the sewer, and he lived with a homeless person for a year. And then he finally goes, oh, it's Halloween. Let's kill this homeless person that took care of me for a year. It's like Jesus Christ. The little girl, awful actress. But like she'd go, oh no, my friend's in trouble. And they go, we need to find this girl. Five cop cars find her. She says, I'm fine. Okay, well, I guess you're fine. Go have a fun at a party, even though there's a murder on the loose. I don't know, man. Oh, there are some parts in it that I liked, but overall, it wasn't that great.
I don't remember what I said in October 2016, but I gave it a 7 back then.
I gave it a 6.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can listen to that podcast and see what I said.
Like, god damn it. I had it at 6.5, and I just changed it back to 6. I'm changing it back to 6.5 because I can't remember what it was, but there's certain parts I'm like, this is perfect. This is... Oh, because that's right, because he was in the house, and then the fight between the psychiatrist and him was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6.5. The next movie I watched, you also watched just recently, Mimic.
Oh, yeah. I watched that in February of this year.
2018. So, listen to Mimic. Yeah, my take on it was... It was better... No, it was... What's the opposite of what I'm trying to say?
Worse?
I remember it being better.
Yeah.
Than it was. But, I mean, it's a 1990s movie. The effects were actually better than I thought they were going to be. Guillermo del Toro, but he was, like, just kind of getting his footing in American movies and stuff. Because this is before you did Devil's Backbone. That one's amazing. But it was fine. I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 7 back in February.
Okay.
The next movie I watched, Scott did not watch.
Sure didn't.
And he said, hey, tell me how this is if you watch it. Because he was jokingly saying that I wasn't going to watch it. And then I watched it. And it was The House.
All right.
With Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
So the premise of this movie is that Will Ferrell and Amy
Poehler,
I almost said Schumer, Amy Poehler.
I knew you were going to say Schumer, that's why I said Poehler.
Their daughter's going to college, and she won a scholarship through their city scholarship or whatever. And Nick Kroll is like the county supervisor or something like that, and they put it to a vote. And they scrapped the scholarship. So they're like, we're not giving the scholarship away this year because we could use the money elsewhere. And then Amy Poehler and Will Ferrell are like, oh, shit, we can't afford to send her to college. How can we make money? And then their friend, oh, Jesus.
Frank? I don't know.
Just a second. I'm looking this up. So they have a friend who is, yeah, Jason Mendoza. I can't ever pronounce it.
Mantzoukas.
It's probably Mantzoukas. Their friend is like a gambling addict, and his wife left him. And then he's like, "I got this house by myself. We could turn this into a casino. Have like a backdoor entrance, secret entrance, so only certain people can get in, and all this stuff." And they're like, "Okay." And then we can raise money to, you know, send our kid to college, and he can save, get money so he can pay out his debts because he's a horrible gambler.
Mm-hmm.
And it just escalates so quickly. I didn't realize it was going to get violent. Like, someone's hand gets cut off and, like, all this craziness. I don't know where I'm going there. But there's, like, a lot of cameos because these comedians all know each other, so they have a lot of random comedians coming in as cameos.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right
but
now.
It was a movie that, like, they could have done without the sex and violence stuff and made some of the jokes a little better, and it would have been a decent movie, I think.
Wayne Fetterman's in it.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was anything amazing. I wouldn't tell people to go see it.
Yeah.
But I just felt like watching a dumb comedy, and it filled that gap. I gave it a 6 because it wasn't terrible.
It's better than IMDb gave it.
Yeah, a lot of people gave it really shitty numbers. So, I don't know. I thought it was decent. I would never watch it again. If it was on TV in the background, I'd probably change the channel. But just because there was no memorable jokes in it. Wasn't many jokes that I was like, that is funny. I'm going to have to remember that.
Well, I do remember watching the trailer, and he's like, "You have no money." He's like, "No, we have like $401,000. No, that's just because you have 401k.
Yeah.
That joke
was pretty funny.
401,000. Like, you didn't realize you almost have $500,000 just in your bank.
Like, you don't understand the concept of 401k and you have a kid. I don't understand. But yeah. So I watched that one, and I gave it a 6.
All right.
Oh, I'll do another one.
Yeah.
So the next one I watched was another one of my 3D movies. And I picked this one up because I was looking online, like, what are the best movies that came out in 3D? Like, if you're going to watch this movie, watch it in 3D.
Yeah.
And everything came up with saying that Tron Legacy, if you're going to watch a movie in 3D, you got to watch this one because it's amazing. It wasn't.
No.
There was some parts that were kind of cool, but, like, if I watched it in 2D, I don't think I would have lost any depth to this movie.
Yeah.
I was actually a little disappointed because even at the beginning, before the movie started, it said, some of these shots are in 3D, and some of them look like they're in 2D, but it's still, like, they're doing this for whatever. And then the size formats of the movie changed, so like the letterbox changed sizes for the movie depending on like the intensity of the film, and
okay,
like, heard all this stuff, I'm like, oh, they really thought this through.
Yeah,
because they even put that at the beginning of the movie, and I was like, I got disappointed because I didn't even notice it. Like, I don't even remember seeing a 2D spot in it. Mm-hmm. Or like the format changing or anything like that. But anyway, the 3D side, it was not worth watching in 3D.
Okay.
This movie was not a cheap movie because it's Disney.
Yeah.
And it's 3D.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed by it. Basically, what happens is this kid, his dad is Jeff Bridges' his character.
Yeah.
And he's been missing for a long time. And the kid ended up inheriting his dad's company and all this stuff. So he's kind of rich.
He's well off,
but he's also one of those people that wants to help people and not just profit.
Okay.
Where his board is like, we got to do, you know, all this stuff to make money, and they come up with this new operating system and stuff, and they're like, we're going to charge a lot, and then the kid just leaks it online for free, so everybody gets it for free, and the company gets pissed. He's like, it's my company, I can do what I want, and everyone gets pissed at him.
So it's like where Ready Player One got their idea from.
Maybe, but not really. So then they're like, hey, your dad left you this key, or no, his three keys. No, I think it's his uncle, so his dad's brother was like, got a page from his dad, or like the uncle got a page from his brother. So like
a page, like
a pager.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you meant from like a book.
No, like his pager went off and said, "Meet at the arcade or something like that." And he's like, "What the hell? Who uses pagers anymore?"
Why does he have it on him?
It's just in his room. I don't know how the battery is still alive either. But so the kid's like, "Oh, I'm going to go to the old arcade because it's just a rundown building and no one goes to it anymore because our kids are obsolete."
Yeah.
So he goes in there and finds a secret passage behind the Tron arcade game, which is inspired by the Tron program. And he goes into the Tron program, and there's crazy fights between programs. Like, people in the Tron world are programs. And then he comes in, and everyone thinks he's a program, but he's a user. And they're like, "He's a user, what, da da da." And then, like, oh, it's fucking stupid. So then he's, like, trying to find his dad, because he's like, he knows his dad's here somewhere. And he eventually meets his dad, and he's like, "Yeah, when I came into this program, I created two people in my likeness, and together, the three of us, we could create an operating system that the world would love and create power using the circuits and all this stuff, and to make it the best." And like most technologies, like, "Oh, if we want to be the best, we got to get rid of all errors. That means get rid of all humans." And like, oh, and then it's like becomes a battle, and
it becomes iRobot.
Yeah. So the entire movie is basically the kid trying to save his dad. Like, they're like, "We got to leave before the gateway closes," or whatever. And oh yeah, Olivia Wilde is in this as well, and she's apparently
a robot.
She's not a robot. She's like one of the power sources or something. I don't fucking
I like know. Her haircut.
So like, I don't know. The two likenesses of Jeff Bridges are like the younger version of him, and it looks so CG.
Yeah.
It looks like it's Ready Player One, because those people were supposed to look CG. This is supposed to look like classic Jeff Bridges from Tron. I mean, there's a lot of cool video game type things with the racing and like the disc throwing and stuff like that was decent, but I don't know, it didn't feel like it was necessary to the plot other than it looked cool. I'm like crapping on it, but I gave it a 6. It was decent. I mean, the 3D wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to watch this in 3D, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Just because the way the design of the clothes and the world and the vehicles and everything, it looks cool in 2D.
Yeah.
With all the grids and everything. Like, I don't think 3D made it any more 3D.
Okay.
If you know what I mean by that.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The next movie I watched was another one off my horror movie list. It just came out like a year or so ago. It's called Dig Two Graves.
One for me, one for you.
Yep, that's it. Goodbye. at the very beginning of the movie, this girl and her brother are standing on this this quarry, like ledge or whatever, this cliff ledge, and he's like, "You're scared to jump in." He's like, "I'll jump in with you," and she's like, "Oh, okay." And then the guy, he goes to jump, and then she's like, just lets go of him, and he jumps off the cliff. And then they never find his body, so they say, "Oh, he's dead."
Oh, Jesus.
So this girl has to live with, like, her family now, like, with just her brother being gone. And they're trying to move on, and she's still holding on to it because she feels guilty for doing it. And you find out, like, the sheriff is her the kid's grandfather. The movie does this weird thing where it keeps flashbacking to, like, shit, I forget the time period. I want to say, like, this takes place in the 70s, and then it flashes back to, like, the 30s or 40s. It keeps showing, like, when the sheriff was much younger, and kind of his whole backstory, like slowly he's running back and forth. But at one point, these three guys confront the girl who's like in high school, and he's like, "Hey, do you want your brother back?" And
he, do you want to see a body?
Yeah, she's like, he's like, "Hey, do you want to see your brother?" Like, and they claim to be gypsies, but like,
never trust a gypsy.
Yeah. So like, if you we'll bring him back for you, but you have to replace his body with another one. And there's this boy at school that likes,
Pumpkinhead.
There's this boy at school who likes her, and she's like, "I can convince him to come to the cliff with me, and I can push him off, and then my brother will come back." But after all this stuff is happening, like, you realize that the boy's father used to be, like, knows the sheriff as well, so, like, and it kind of flashes back to, like the gypsy people, the gypsy family has been around for a while, so it kind of goes back and forth, so, like, this has happened once before, so he's like, "You stay away from that girl, because we know bad things are gonna happen." It's not an amazing, overly amazing, like, you need to see this movie, but I fucking loved it. I was reading reviews on IMDb and some of that, and people were like, "This was right up my alley," and then I just got bored in the third act, and like it was just there's useless. I'm like, I don't know, I liked it a lot. Like it flowed so fast for me. Like it was over before I even realized it. It's like an hour and a half long movie. The quick synopsis is: after her brother's tragic death, a young girl meets three men who claim they can bring her brother back to life. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I gave it a 7.
Sweet.
And that was on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, hopefully it should still be on there. It looks like it got shot in 2014, but didn't get released until like 2017. So like it was done and stuff, but then it finally got released a couple years later. So yeah, that's more recent.
So I posted a picture on my Facebook showing two 3D movies that I bought because they look like almost the same picture but with different actors.
Mm-hmm.
And the movies are Immortals and Hercules with The Rock because they're both swinging and there's flames. One of them is The Rock. The other one is Henry Cavill.
They both look grittily tanned.
Yeah, and they both look angry. So I watched these two movies. And I'm just going to do them back-to-back.
Okay. Because you got them confused for each other, didn't you?
No, just because then it's easier to get through them. So, Immortals stars Henry Cavill.
Superman.
Superman, but not as Superman. So, it's a weird Greek or Roman-type movie where Zeus and the gods and stuff like that exist. But also, there are these other men who are immortal, and there's a war between the gods and the immortals, and the gods basically locked up these immortal men in this cage, and there's these ladies that can basically see the future
like a sightseer type thing
but I can't remember the name of it for this mythology stuff, but anyway, they're like, I can't remember Henry Cavill's name. I'm just going to call him Henry Cavill. So the girl sees Henry Cavill with the bow and arrow from one of the gods shooting the cage and letting the immortals free.
Theseus? Yeah.
That's his name? Yeah, I believe it.
I believe it.
I mean, it's like ancient Greek Roman mythology thing.
Greece, yep, Greek.
So, was it Epirus's bow or something? Epirus's bow? Basically create a war between the gods and the immortals. It was a pretty interesting movie. I can't tell you details, but I was intrigued the entire time. I didn't get bored watching it, like some movies I do. And I don't know, it was pretty interesting. Oh yeah, Mickey Rourke is a character who just wants to like kill everybody.
Hyperion.
He's like the evil guy. So it's kind of like Henry Cavill versus Mickey Rourke in this movie. But there's this war between the gods and the immortals and stuff. But anyway, it was really entertaining. I enjoyed it a lot. The 3D of it, some of it was really cool. like most 3D movies, anything CG'd looks cool because it's always 3D rendered and it probably looks the best. But I don't know. The costumes were really cool. The environments were really cool. I don't know. It seemed like a very generic plot, but it was entertaining all the way through. I gave it a 7. I thought it was pretty good. And then on the other hand,
I was going to say, I hate when people say, oh, from the producers of... It's like,
right, that just means they just to get the money from them.
So, yeah, if you like the, like, 300, it's the same producers as 300.
Right. It had a 300 kind of vibe to it, though, too.
Also, this movie came out on 11-11-11, so good for them.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it doesn't list any reviews or, like, quotes or anything on the DVD.
Okay.
It doesn't even, like, say, see this movie.
Yeah.
And then, unlike this one...
The Rock plays
The Rock man. Plays Hercules.
Good review.
No, there's no reviews on this one either. It just says, includes the new extended cut with exciting action not shown in the theater, which I didn't see because I watched it in 3D, so I saw basically the theater version.
You couldn't see the action.
So, a lot of people know the mythology of Hercules. So, the movie starts... where it's telling the mythology of Hercules, where he's got to do all these trials to prove that he is half man, half god. So he's like, he fights the lion and the hydra and then the three-headed dog. And
Cerberus?
Yeah, Cerberus and stuff. And it's showing like the different trials and stuff. And then it cuts to this guy who's like telling the story. And he's like, and Hercules is going to save me. And then The Rock shows up and starts killing all these guys' men to set his friend free. And they're like, is he really half God? You believe it, don't you? So it's like the whole movie is like making you believe that he's half God and half human. But he's not. He's just like people are saying this about him. Let them believe it because then they're not going to fuck with us.
Oh.
Because he's walking around with, like, a giant clan of people. So, like, everyone's like, oh, it's Hercules taking out all these people, when it's technically a group of people that are taking out these people. But it gets pretty interesting by the end because toward the end, you finally realize that Hercules isn't just a super strong guy who can do anything. He, like, actually cares for people and what is right and all this stuff like a true god would. So it was an interesting take on something. I'm like, how many times can they remake Hercules? And like, okay, they took it in a different direction.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated and I liked because I was like, are they going to do this? Are they just going to go through and do all the trials of Hercules in a movie and that's it? So it was interesting to see it from a different point of view. I thought people give The Rock crap because he does like a lot of shitty movies.
Yeah.
But he does, like, he doesn't act like it's a shitty movie. He's like, this is gonna be the best movie ever. And, like, he gives it his all in, like, every performance. Even if it's not an amazing movie, you believe that The Rock thinks this is an important movie. So I thought it was an entertaining movie. I just thought it was humorous because, though the covers are very similar, the movies aren't very similar, except the mention of Zeus is in both of them.
Also, John Hurt is in both of them.
John Hurt? I don't know who that is.
He is...
Come on. My screen locked me out, and
God, he's been in so many things.
John Hurt.
He was a... God damn it.
I just typed it in.
I'm looking up. Like, there's so many movies he's been in. Like, he was an Alien and Hellboy.
My screen locked me
he's,
out.
In Hellboy, he's, like, kind of the guy that runs the BRPD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's, like, a main character in Hercules.
I think he was in the Four Skulls... Crystal Skulls, Indiana Jones 4. Wasn't he the old dude?
Probably.
In that. He was Kane in Alien. Looks like... Yeah, it was fucking tons of stuff. Oh, he's the fucking... The doctor... From the war... The Time War doctor. The war doctor.
Oh, okay.
He's... I mean, yeah. Anyways, but he plays Lord... Cadius?
Wow, these...
But then he played Old Man in Immortals.
Well, also, Immortals came out 2011. Hercules came out in 2014. So there's a good 3 years in between them.
But he's like the third person on the bill.
I don't remember.
And he was an old man.
Just, oh, okay.
I don't know.
He's probably the guy who was just rambling about stuff.
Sounds like Grease.
Yeah, so I gave that one a 7.2, so I gave them both 7s as well, right, even though they're not the same movie. Why is my fucking computer... I said close that.
I watched one more movie, and the rest I saw with you.
Yeah, all the rest I saw with
you. All right, well then I'll mention the one I saw by myself, which you saw many years ago. The Kiefer Sutherland movie, Mirrors.
Yeah, Mirror Man.
Directed by... The guy's name I forgot already, but he directed also directed Piranha 3D.
Piranha 3D?
So, there you go. You can't hate him too much. So, the movie Mirrors, Jack Bauer is a... Or, I mean, wait. Kiefer Sutherland plays a character who was a cop, and then something happened on his shift, I guess, and he...
Peter Goldfinger?
He's an ex-cop now. What?
Well, that's written by...
Andre, something Andre?
Oh.
Aja, that's it. Or whatever, Aha, whatever. I think it's Aha, Alexandre Aha. Anyways, he's an ex-cop, and, but he's, he apparently had an alcohol problem, so he's trying to get clean, and his wife has kind of kicked him out of his house, so he's living with his sister, Amy Smart. And he's trying to get money, so he's working a night shift guarding this old building, which used to be like an old mall that had started on fire many years prior, but basically they just have people walking around to make sure that no one fucks with the land. But then there's a whole history behind this, because he starts seeing weird things happening in the mirrors, and he finds out that the guy who had his position before him had killed himself by cutting his neck open. And it's one of those movies where it kind of jumps right into it, which I like, because I hate when you watch a horror movie and it goes, oh, something weird happened, I'll ignore it. Something weird happened, I'll ignore it. Hurry up, there's 15 minutes left of the movie. Okay, here's the story, and that's why, and then we fixed it. This is like, oh, you meet the character, he gets his job, and then right away he starts seeing weird shit, and he's like, something's going on here. There's a reason why... what do you want? And he asks, he finds out that the mirrors, are looking for a certain person. So he, starts, digging in, because he used to be a cop, so he knows how to look into evidence and back, and, finding clues and shit. So he starts, trying to track down this person who's Essaker was the name, and he's trying to find out what's going on with that. But meanwhile, all the mirrors, because he came in contact with the mirrors in the old building, his family starts seeing things in the mirrors, and the reflections, will, if the reflection does something, it happens to you in real life. So, you're just giving me a smug look,
this is fucking stupid.
No, it's a dumb concept, but I thought it was executed well, because, I liked the tone and the feel of the movie, and Kiefer Sutherland is just a great actor. And it's, he just... he's the reason why I liked it so much, and also, like I said, the atmosphere of the movie, because it wasn't just, it actually felt like, that world existed before we watched the movie.
Yeah, I agree
with that. And I liked those aspects of it.
I just feel like they could have done a better, I don't know, the concept of the other world was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I felt like they could have done something better with it.
Yeah. But this was a better version of The Rings.
Oh, I believe
that. A much better version of The Rings. Because, he's trying to track this person down, this and this, and figure out what the clues are. I gave it a 6.5. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. Oh, this was also on my list of horror movies. That's why I watched it.
The Mirror.
But speaking of horror...
Is Jurassic World a horror movie?
Back when they first released the first trailer, they mentioned, we're going to try to make this more of a horror movie than an action.
I did not feel like that.
Nope,
at
sure
all.
Didn't.
But so we'll explain saw Jurassic it. World Fallen Kingdom. We're not talking about the first Jurassic World. We're talking about Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom.
So this movie
exists.
Hang on. I got to look to see what I said about the first one. I probably gave it, rave reviews.
Oh, yeah. I want to see what I did, too. Where are you,
I gave it a fucking 8.
Did you?
Apparently.
What did I give it?
November 2015 is when we saw the first one.
I have my sheets right here.
So the concept of the second movie is that the island that Jurassic World is on.
I gave it an 8.
Yeah, me too.
The fuck?
Yeah, it didn't last the test of time. That's
what
for
did
sure.
we watch?
So Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom takes place after the first Jurassic World, where dinosaurs killed random people and they closed the park.
Which is good.
Which is good. But now, apparently, there's an active volcano on that island this whole time.
Which they didn't notice.
And it's going to erupt. So there's a bunch of people that are like, we can't let these animals go extinct. Even if they are dinosaurs, they're still living creatures and they need to live. And other people are like, yeah, but if we don't kill them, we could become extinct. And then the basic premise is, should or should not... Should these animals, should they or should they not exist anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Humans shouldn't have created them in the first place, but now that they have, whatever. So they go onto a rescue mission to save as many of the dinosaurs as they can before the island explodes. And the escaping from the island when it's burning up was the best part in the movie, I thought.
Yeah.
And that is the first third of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say where it goes from there.
I don't know if it is the first third of the movie or not.
It felt like the first third.
Not to me. It felt a lot shorter than that.
Oh, yeah.
Because the rest of the movie just kind of drags.
Yeah, because you get all the crazy suspenseful stuff at the beginning, and then at the end it's like sneaking around and stupid stuff.
Like Jason said, he doesn't want to go into it, but I do want to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Part that I hated about Jurassic World is a much bigger part of this one.
The hybrid?
Weaponizing dinosaurs.
Oh. I also don't understand why you have to make hybrid dinosaurs. Like, dinosaurs aren't cool by themselves. Like you were saying, the Ankylosaurus is, like, the coolest dinosaur, which they had in this movie. But it's like, that's an amazing dinosaur. Why did you have to create these other ones? Isn't that, like, aren't the dinosaurs there good enough?
Yeah.
I don't know. But that was more in the first movie than this movie, but...
Although the intro part to the movie...
Felt like the first Jurassic Park
movie. Yes, it felt like the first Jurassic Park because it's like, oh, what's happening? They're on an island, they're trying to gather dinosaurs, because this is a couple years after the Jurassic World.
Well, they're trying to get the bones.
Yeah, they're trying to get like a DNA and stuff like that, and they're like, oh, all the dinosaurs around here should be dead by now. Of course they're not. And then there's a couple cool moments of like some really creepy...
They're trying to figure out where that takes place because they're like, oh, the dinosaurs should be dead. So is that after it exploded?
No, that was before.
But then like everyone's like, oh, there's still dinosaurs in the island. But these guys didn't think there were.
Yeah.
This had to have been after the...
No. Because that's where they got the thing, the tooth.
Oh, yeah, they cut the tooth off. The tooth was later in the movie.
Yeah.
God damn it. That fucking doesn't work. Another plot hole.
I think it was a thing where they thought the creature... And then
everyone's like, oh, they're still alive.
Because it was in the water. He's like, they haven't been feeding because he's been in a mm-hmm. tank for this many years.
Yeah.
And apparently they were wrong.
Yeah.
And
obviously this one sets up.
But the T-Rex with the lightning strikes when he's like, I can't hear you. That part was awesome. He's like... She's like, and then darkness, and
yeah,
that part. But yeah, the beginning is pretty great.
It seems like these shitty movies I'm giving all sixes.
I gave this one.
I feel
one.
Like I'm being too nice.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I lost my...
I gave Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, a 6 as well. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Moving on.
The next movie we watched...
Okay, so the next movie we watched... We watched it so we could see the second one in the theater.
And then those fuckers.
And then the times are really dumb and we weren't able to. So we're going to see it like one of the first weekends in July.
Yeah.
But the movie is Sicario.
Sicario.
Because this came out...
2014, 16? 2015. Average one.
Yeah. Came out 2015. I remember it coming out, but I never watched it. And I never really... wanted to.
I never heard of it until the second one was coming out.
And then when the second one came out, I was like, okay, everyone's saying how good the first one is. We should see the second one in the theater. But in order to do that, we should watch the first one. So I picked it out of the bargain bin, which I thought was weird. Because usually if a movie's coming out as a sequel, they try to sell the shit out of the previous
ones. And also, if it's so great and it came out 3 years ago...
It's got the certified fresh sticker on it.
Yeah, if it came out 3 years ago... But also, this could be the bare bones edition. And they went, oh, we're going to re-release it because
they never re-released it, though. Yeah. Unless they're doing it as a two-pack, but then it's going to be a trilogy, so whatever.
Nobody knows.
But anyway, Sicario. So Emily Blunt's character...
Sicario is... they tell you right at the very beginning... It's a Spanish word for assassin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Emily Blunt works for the FBI, and they're doing this investigation or something. I don't remember.
There's hostages.
But then there were explosions, and a lot of people died. And then, who's the other group that...
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh Brolin's group. Anyway,
Homeland Security.
They're like, this is related to drug kingpin in Mexico. And we're going to try to find the kingpin's brother so we can find where the kingpin is. So, like, we'll go to, I forget what they said, El Paso or something?
They were in El Paso on this side, but then they went to Juarez.
But then, like, they're like, we're going to go, you know, find his brother, whatever. And then they cross the border, and it gets pretty intense. Like, it seems like a slow build-up, but then once it, like, it's intriguing the entire time.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Who are these people? Because you don't know who to trust and who not to trust. And, like, from Emily Blunt's point of view...
Which is our point of view.
Yeah. Which is the same point of view as the audience, is who do I trust? What are they trying to get away with? What is...
Yeah, that's really weird because, like, if you watch movies like, for instance, Alien. You watch Alien, the whole crew knows each other, and you're like, you don't feel left out.
Right.
This movie, you feel left out. Josh Brolin's making a joke, and he says something, and then everyone else in that briefing room is like, ah, ha, ha. I'm like, I feel left out. And you're like...
And she did, too.
But any other movies you watch, like, you don't feel left out. Like, they're making a joke. Like, oh, that's just how they are. This was, like, it was so alienating to the viewer for some reason. That was great.
But I think that was the whole point.
Yeah, but how would you do that?
And then Benicio del Toro is, I think he's from Mexican side, right? Like government on the Mexican side, the police.
I want to say, I thought it was Colombia?
Maybe. But anyway, like Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro's characters, those two have a back and forth that they've been working together. You can tell they've been working together for a while.
Yeah.
So they got all this stuff.
And you can tell they hate each other, but they don't like each other.
Right. But they know how to work together and get the job done, which Emily Blunt's trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. I don't want to give too much away because, for me, most of it was like...
God damn it.
The way you felt watching the movie.
That highway scene was so intense.
Yes. Because, to me, it's hard to explain a movie like this because it's all about the way you feel watching it. And the way they're trying to make you feel was way stronger than if I wrote what the plot was.
Yeah. Matt Graver was Josh Brolin, and Alejandro was Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, they don't list that shit on here.
Daniel Kaluuya is in it.
That
guy's in fucking everything nowadays. Which is not bad.
FBI agent Emily Blunt is recruited by the government task force official, Josh Brolin, to pursue a drug lord. And it's like the back doesn't even say, like, and pits against the shadowy consultant, Benicio del Toro. Like, they don't even list the characters' names on the back.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was a good movie. I gave it a 7.
Yeah, I gave it a 7 as well.
And then the next movie we watched...
So
this is, like, the second documentary I've ever seen in the theater.
I mentioned that we were gonna watch Sicario 2. But then because of how shitty Marcus Theaters are around here,
yeah.
A movie will come out, the next weekend they'll have one showing, and then that's it.
And then it's gone.
So, with like, oh, a documentary, that's not going to last long.
Yeah,
so,
we're going to go see the documentary because it won't be here the following week.
Yeah, so I told my coworker, I'm like, yeah, we're going to watch Sicario too, but instead we watched...
Won't You Be My Neighbor?
The Mr. Rogers documentary, and he was so disappointed in me. But then again, that's... Fuck Ed.
But I just thought, like... The Won't You Be My Neighbor would not be in the theater very long.
And we're wrong.
We're wrong, but Sicario is still in the theater.
Yeah, so we're fine.
So we're fine. yeah. So Won't You Be My Neighbor is the documentary about Mr. Rogers. It starts from the beginning of his career when he was like a producer of a children's show, and then it
when he was showed, like a, when he was going over the minute, he was going to be
then,
a minister.
Yeah, he was going to be a minister, and he starts up his own show, and it goes through the timeline of his entire Mr. Rogers Neighborhood and beyond. Mm-hmm. And they do interviews with his wife, his kids, like coworkers,
people that like admired
people,
him. And...
Yeah, people who were had. Stuff to do with the show, and then they were also showing like when he did an episode how it tied to like the Challenger explosion and
like race wars
and
Bobby
stuff.
Kennedy's assassination
and, right, and how he'd made a show because kids are like, I don't know what's going on in the world, what is this? And then Mr. Rogers is like, well, someone's got to tell these kids what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he felt as his duty to do that, and it was a very interesting movie documentary. Because you realize, like, how much Fred Rogers cared about kids.
Yeah.
And he got mad at all, like, the Saturday morning cartoons and, like, the violence.
And people that like, did
all
parodies
this stuff.
Of his show.
And he's like, yeah, kids are watching this stuff, but they're not getting anything from it. Like, they're just learning to be violent and this and that. And, like, since he was a minister, like, that's where his mind is. He's like, people are good. Like, he physically believes that all people are good. They just got to be told what they should and shouldn't do.
And also, people feel like shit, and he has to like, tell them, like, no, you are somebody. You're worth, you know. And, God damn it, like, it makes me hate the world so much more.
Yeah. Because people, like...
Like
gave him so much crap.
Like the near the end when like when they started just ripping on him, saying, "Oh,
it's
this
his
is
fault.
Why this is it's his fault that everyone isn't feels entitled because he told everyone they were special, and that way everyone thinks that they don't have to work hard for it." It's like
that's not. What
and
he's
like,
saying.
"What I meant to say was you're special, so you don't have to prove yourself. Like you're special. I love you no matter how you like
right.
you are." And it's like
it was more of a morale booster than it was like you're entitled.
Yeah, like oh you're good, so you get some free shit. But, man, dude, I don't remember the last time I cried that much in a theater. Holy shit.
I feel like whenever I watch a documentary, I cry.
Yeah, like, they fucking knew how to edit that stuff. Like, there's, like, the first few times, I'm like, oh, it's happy because they had a Mr. Rogers day. And, like, and they're like, oh, yeah, we figured it wasn't going to be that much. There was blocks and blocks of, like, these parents with their kids so excited to see Mr. Rogers. I was like, when I saw all those people, I was like, oh, it's they're coming to see Mr. Rogers. like I grew up watching the show and like and oh god,
it makes me want to like rewatch a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah, like I mean, I consider myself a nice person and like I do owe a lot of like growing up in like first grade. I remember reading like the Golden Rule, and I stick to that. Like you know,
yeah, treat others as you want to be treated.
Yeah, but also like I can see me treating people like because of growing up watching Mr. Rogers. So it was like a lot of that stuff. I was like, yes. This is hitting home because it was awakening like all these memories in me. Like, oh yeah, I do remember some of this. Like, I know that's right. I know this is like it was just it was so good.
It was very good, and I also liked the fact that they had a lot of like little things that like the people talking about. Oh yeah, he was in the Navy. He had tattoos. They're like, no, he didn't. And then like
just
all these like
down his
all
bullshit.
These. Yeah, myths and stuff. I felt like a lot of them they showed yes or no on a lot of that stuff, and some of the best quotes they had in it, and like what he meant by certain things, and just how much he cared.
Yeah.
And it's just sad because I don't think we'll ever have another Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, and it was like the last part like of that movie.
Oops.
God damn it! The end of that
I'm
movie
fine.
When
it's
they were
who's gonna last.
When they were like just kind of reflecting on everything, like just sit back and oh god, that fucking got to me.
Yeah,
that movie got to me, man.
I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it an 8.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah,
the last movie we're not leaving on a high note. We should have reordered this. The last movie we watched a movie on HBO.
One of the first years we went to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We stopped by this booth, and they had a whole bunch of, like, horror movies, and, like, all these movies are coming. Yeah, it's Lionsgate-type booth. It was Lionsgate Booth, but I remember like it was like The Descent and Crank and Bug, which I never saw, but I remember Ashley Judd was in it, and then they had like a little teaser for a movie called Right at Your Door,
which at the time we're like, this looks like the best movie out of
this
all. This
looks
of them.
Amazing, but we never got around to seeing it. But the gist of it is it's like a sort of apocalyptic type movie where this married couple is in their house, and the wife goes off to work, and then he hears on the radio and TV and stuff that
there's like sirens go off.
Yes, these sirens are going off, and there were these bombings on like in the city and like in mm-hmm. LA and stuff downtown, and it was like chemical in nature, and there was like it was creating ash everywhere that was like toxic and stuff like that, and
yeah, they were dirty bombs.
Yeah. So they're telling everyone, like, stay in your house, don't go outside. If you see anyone that's been outside, you know, don't let them in your house. But he can't get a hold of his wife at all. He tries driving around, and then eventually just goes back to his house, boards it up with one of the neighbors.
Yeah, the neighbor handyman.
Yeah. So they put, like, tarps over the doors and windows and seal everything up and stuff. And then his wife shows up.
Yeah.
And she's like, let me in. He's like, I can't.
It's dangerous.
And it has that, like, initial like just tension of her wanting to come in and knowing you can't,
right?
Because
that's what the trailer was.
Yeah,
and, like, then the rest of the movie is dealing with that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately, I didn't expect it to be a lot of just sitting around in the house talking through the mm-hmm. door. It wasn't bad. It was not
an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Whoever made the trailer did a good job, I thought, selling it. But then it's like, then you got to go from there. And it's once you get past the initial, shit, what do we do? Okay, we wait it out.
Yeah.
And that's like the rest of the movie.
Yeah. and not to spoil the ending, but I'm not going to, but I felt it was predictable. I felt like I knew what they were going to try to do, and I knew they were going to try to make me feel bad.
Yeah.
But they didn't pull it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if that's what you thought was going to happen, yeah.
Well, like no, just the idea of like, oh, this is what happened, and this is what happened to this, and this is what happened over here. And you go, see, that's what happened. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, it didn't affect me as much as I think they wanted it to.
Right. I think they dragged it on a little too long in some
parts.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I thought it was decent. I gave it a 6.5.
There was one thing, though. It's like, because obviously the guy's like trapped in his house for like days on end, and you can see like he doesn't have the AC on or anything because
There's no ventilation.
There's no ventilation. He's in California, like near LA. But I'm like, so then if it wasn't for them mentioning how hot it was in there, I wouldn't have got that by looking at it, because everything was like, it was very dull and dark tones to everything.
But he was very sweaty and
yeah. But like I the thing is, like, that was me going, oh, maybe he's getting sick.
Oh, okay.
Because like he's like, he looks very pale and stuff. Like I kind of wish they just adjusted the hues a little bit to make it go, oh, it's hot in there, but it's all shadowy and stuff. And I don't know, because they mentioned like, oh yeah, it's like 100 degrees in the house. I'm like, oh, okay. I wouldn't have thought it was at that level, but I gave it a 6. The dude, I didn't look. Oh, the guy looks really familiar, and I didn't look up to see what he was in. I want to say I think he was in Orange County, the movie, but I could be wrong.
I was gonna say the show Titus or not Titus, the Grounded for Life.
Oh, maybe.
But anyway, I watched 4 3D movies this month. So the four movies I watched were Piranha, Tron Legacy, Immortals, and Hercules were the four movies I watched in 3D.
Sorry, he was Lucas in Empire Records.
Oh, Lucas. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, he's the...
I think we knew that when we saw the trailer at Comic-Con, too.
Maybe.
But the worst movies I watched this month were Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Tron Legacy, and The House with the Six.
Oh, boy. My lowest was Fright Night, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Right at Your Door, and Piranha 3D with a 6.
And then the best movies I saw were Upgrade, Incredibles 2, Piranha 3D, and Won't You Be My Neighbor with 7.5.
The best movies I saw were Won't Be My Neighbor, Won't You Be My Neighbor, and Deep Red with an 8. And just because we haven't said anything yet, I know Tony Mayer loves Deep Red. And I know, like,
Deep Red?
Deep Red, the movie I watched.
Oh.
The detective, the guy gets murdered. The lady gets murdered, I mean.
You chew that.
Yeah, because that was one of those, like, I knew he loved that movie. I was like, I need to see this movie because I know Dario Argento is known for it. The movies that I saw on my list for my horror movies were Fright Night, Deep Red, Dig Two Graves, and Mirrors.
Keisha, wanna... say something.
All right. Be quiet then. Just jiggle your bell. Anyways, if you want to email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. It's stuffbyscott@gmail.com. And you can say, hey, what are you talking about? Piranha 3D is the best movie ever made. Or are you talking about Mr. Rogers' documentary sucked? Or be like, yeah, I agree. Deep Red is awesome. Or whatever. Or just say, you think you like that movie? You like,
check out
this one, motherfuckers. You don't have to say that. But just the idea. Yeah, don't swear, guys.
Don't swear at us, please.
Please.
2013.
Just be nice. Yeah, just don't swear at us. And let's be like Mr. Rogers. I think that's about it. So
yep, and that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.